This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. On President Donald Trump's 100th day in office, a Saturday afternoon standoff in Pikeville, Kentucky, between a coalition of white supremacist groups and anti-fascist counter-protesters fell short of violence that had local officials on high alert in the days and hours leading up to the event. Hundreds from each side of a bubbling culture war over race and ideology, as well as dozens of regional, national, and international media, line Main Street in an otherwise deserted downtown. But Pike County residents, 80% of whom voted for Trump in the November election, say they didn't want or ask for any of it to happen. Dave Mistich was on the ground and filed this report.
This is Appalachian shaming. They both think they need to speak for us, and we can speak for ourselves.
University of Pikeville chaplain Robert Music was clad in a white robe as he tried to speak to participants on both sides of Main Street. Despite the decline of the coal industry and the loss of many good-paying jobs in the area, Music said many places in central Appalachia, particularly Pikeville, are evolving the best they can. Billed as a rally for white working families by white nationalist supremacist group the Traditionalist Worker Party, word spread on social media as early as February. It also drew attention from anti-fascist groups in the surrounding region and across the country. Participants from both sides were mostly from out of state, leaving locals fewer and far between Saturday afternoon in downtown Pikeville. A few dozen Pike County residents came to witness the scene from a neutral position along Main Street, including University of Pikeville student and county native Kyle Newsom. He said he wanted to come down and see what happened. For how long, he wasn't sure.
I mean, until it gets crazy, and then I plan on leaving, but...
You think it's going to, or...?
I mean, all of the law enforcement expects it to, and their history sort of would seem to show that anytime these two groups are together, they kind of... It always ends up with a fight.
Right.
Newsom's concerns echoed public safety warnings from city officials. The university had urged students not to go downtown Saturday afternoon, or better yet, leave town altogether. He stuck around and found himself closest to dozens of law enforcement officers who had formed a line in the middle of Main Street.
I don't know if it's a stereotype with the South or if Kentucky's just not Southern enough, but we're predominantly white, and I don't really know anyone who's afraid of minorities or afraid of some impending invasion of minorities, so I don't know.
With a population of just over 65,000, Pike County is 98% white, according to data from the 2010 census. Still yet, locals say displays of white supremacy or racism aren't indicative of their way of life. For the demonstration, Pikeville city officials passed an ordinance banning hoods and masks, citing what they called a perceived threat of violence from anti-fascist groups on social media. At least one counter-protest, planned at a nearby city park and billed as a rally for equality and American values, was canceled by Friday afternoon. Organizers of that event said they had received credible threats to their safety. As the rally and counter-protest began just after 1 in the afternoon, about a dozen members of the League of the South stood across the street. The anti-fascist coalition quickly grew from a few dozen into a few hundred after a march. Many anti-fascist demonstrators wore black and donned red bandanas. They chanted various phrases throughout the afternoon. The group also chanted, "We want Heimbach," a reference taunting Traditionalist Worker Party leader Matt Heimbach from Indiana, who had yet to appear at the rally. Heimbach and the Traditionalist Worker Party, part of a hyper-conservative white supremacist movement on the far right, has been identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. Other groups participating on the white supremacist side have also been identified by SPLC as hate groups. As the afternoon went on, members of the Traditionalist Worker Party and National Socialist Movement marched out together to a barricaded area to join members of the League of the South who were standing in front of the courthouse along Main Street. Nazi, Confederate, and American flags blew in the wind around them, and dozens of members of the white supremacist groups were openly carrying handguns. Kevin Keithley, a professional basketball coach originally from Pike County, who said he coached the first all-black team in the area, said Pikeville is generally open-minded, despite what most outsiders think of eastern Kentucky and the heart of Appalachia.
They've been told not to come. They're not welcome here. If you want to be inclusive, all-inclusive, you're more than welcome. But at the same time, it's free speech. If they do it peacefully, they don't invoke, they don't incite. You know, you let them do what they got to do and let them get out of town, let them go to the next town.
As the white supremacist groups exited downtown in their vehicles, they were followed out by anti-fascists on foot. Two squads of Kentucky State Police SWAT teams were mobilized to stave off the potential for violence. As the event wound down, each group had left their respective barricaded areas. Pikeville City Police served Heimbach a court summons for a charge in which he is accused of criminal physical harassment. Those charges were brought in July following a March 2016 Trump campaign rally in Louisville, Kentucky, where Heimbach shoved and struck a black woman who was protesting then-presidential candidate Trump. The incident was recorded on video. Chaplin Music hinted that part of the reason for Saturday's rally is a perception of eastern Kentucky as down and out, a result of a media narrative that's focused on a downtrodden and distressed white working class.
You know, they talk about how poor we are and how bad. You look around, we're doing okay. Like, life is good here.
Chaplin Music explained that he feels Heimbach and the Traditionalist Worker Party, along with other groups involved in Saturday's event, are misguided in their appeal to the people of the region.
We're shoeless, ignorant hillbillies that need everyone's help, and we actually don't. We're doing quite fine, and we have committed, loving people, and of course we have conservative people too, but the cool thing about us is that we respect that, and we can move forward. And I just think Heimbach and Antifa, I wish they would listen to us as opposed to speaking for us.
For 100 Days in Appalachia, I'm Dave Mistich in Pikeville, Kentucky.
Veterans are two times more likely than the civilian population to develop an addiction to opioids. In 2013, the Veterans Health Administration, or VA, released a new set of guidelines called the Opioid Safety Initiative, which concluded that opioids are not the best treatment for most types of chronic pain. Instead, VA doctors are encouraged to first advise their patients to try alternative therapies like yoga, physical therapy, and chiropractic care. Inside Appalachia's Roxy Todd spent some time at the Martinsburg VA to learn more about the Mindful Yoga class, one of the alternative therapies they offer veterans who are suffering from chronic pain.
Inhale. Exhale, bring both legs up. Chest for three breaths. Perfect. Good job, Mr. Pickford. That's perfect.
In a large gym at the Martinsburg VA, Air Force veteran Darren Yowell is leading 14 veterans in a yoga class. His students call him Chewy.
One person described my yoga class one time as yoga without the granola, because I'm not going to talk about wheat fields and things like this. It's going to be an instructional yoga class. Like, this is how you do this move. This is what it benefits. This is how you modify it.
Bring your feet down, bring your knees to a bent position.
Most of the people in this class are men, and all are veterans who are dealing with some type of pain.
Really working your lower back here.
One of Chewy's students is Army veteran Adam Smith.
The military attracts certain people, you know, athletically inclined or very active people. You know, it's hard on your body. Over time, you know, most people that get out of the service are going to be hurting.
Adam says he's in pain most mornings. He takes some pain medication, but yoga has improved his mobility more than any other medical treatment.
I'm so happy that the VA has embraced yoga, and I'd like to see them embrace it more. You know, without a pill, you can feel better. I mean, that's pretty powerful, and you can calm yourself down and feel so much better without taking a pill, without relying on somebody else doing something to you. Yoga, you're moving your own body.
Straighten your legs out. Lay down, palms facing up.
Building that sense of independence is important for healing, says Chewy.
And to me, the best way to help others is not to baby people. It's to challenge them. We all want to be challenged.
Chewy says he struggled finding purpose when he left the military in 1991. When he got out, he'd planned on becoming a school teacher, but that didn't work out. He became addicted to alcohol, then to harder drugs like pain pills.
Went up and down on a roller coaster after that for the next 20 years, not really using the VA. not wanting nothing to do with it, actually, for multiple reasons. But in 2010, I was in Danville, Virginia, and I was in pretty bad shape. A friend of mine got me to the community-based outpatient clinic down there, basically just dropped me off at the door and said, y'all got to help him. You know, I believe that people, like my situation, I just needed somebody to help me.
He eventually came to the Martinsburg VA and stayed here for 9 months in inpatient psychiatric care to manage his addiction.
When I came here as a patient, I felt like a forgotten person.
He's been sober since 2010. A few months into his treatment, he heard about a job with the VA as a recreation specialist. This was something he was good at, so he applied for the job and got it.
They were building this gym, and when I got hired, I was shown this gym, and something just clicked. There were certain things, you know, before I became involved in drugs and alcohol that I was very strong at, that the drugs and alcohol took from me. But once I got clean, I took them back. And now I'm going to use my gifts that I was given to try and help others.
Chewy can be found here, teaching a yoga class every Monday morning and another class in the afternoon. Students go through a 12-week course that's designed to teach veterans how to stay active and cope with mental stress, like post-traumatic stress disorder.
Very good challenge, everybody. Good job.
There are veterans of all ages in the class. Some actually set down their canes and walkers while they do yoga. Chewy helps them modify the moves, but he shows them they can do more than they thought they could.
So even though it's a group class, it has to be done different than a yoga class on the outside. If you go to a yoga class on the outside, it's very fluid. You walk in there, the instructor assumes that you know everything. Whereas I try to be very instructional. Even though it's a group, I still try to have to go around one-on-one, and you got to be able to recognize everybody's limits and what they can and can't do.
When the Martinsburg VA began offering yoga a few years ago, it didn't seem as though many veterans were interested. But that changed. Veterans asked for more yoga classes, and Chewy's session continues to fill up, says Mike McAleer, the public relations officer at this VA.
When you first tell a veteran, most veterans anyway, that you're going to, maybe you should try some yoga, they're probably going to laugh at you or mock you a little bit. But once they get in there and they realize that, as you notice, not everybody was at the same level. And it's okay, because you don't have to all be experts at what you're doing, as long as your body's starting to move and you're starting to feel a little bit better. So I think once you cross the threshold and you give it a try, you're going to be in there for life.
So now I want you to completely relax. The focus changes. Your breath does not change. You keep the rhythm of your breathing.
This yoga class isn't only for veterans who were injured in battle. It also teaches breathing and mindfulness, or being aware of your body and the way your mind affects health. This is especially important to yoga student Stacy Sage, a Navy veteran who's battling breast cancer. Yoga has become a way for her to focus her thoughts on healing her body.
Because I am on my fourth regimen of chemo, and I need to do something to keep my mind off of what's going on internally.
Stacy says her first yoga class gave her enough energy to go home and do yard work all afternoon.
My husband was out chopping wood, and normally I would go in the house. I actually helped him carry the logs to, you know, where we store them. And so it just had me energized. Chewy helped me that morning, but it then carried on through the rest of the day.
Stacy's had breast cancer since August of 2015. The cancer has metastasized, which means it's spread to other parts of her body.
Sad to say, but in a year, my goal is just to be alive and, you know, healthier. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With metastatic cancer, it's one day at a time. Everyone says I have the best attitude when it comes to having cancer, but my son's 7, so I have to do what I have to do to be there for him. And this is part of it.
This interview was recorded back in January. We checked back in with Stacy earlier this week find out how she's doing. She says on top of the breast cancer, she was recently diagnosed with lung cancer too, and her health has deteriorated in the last few months. So she had to stop going to yoga class, at least for now. But she says she still wakes up each morning to do breathing exercises and meditation that she learned in yoga class. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Martinsburg, West Virginia.